Hi, this is Antennas to Heaven, today with Andy Moore and the music of one of his life-changing records.
Bitter Funeral Beer. That was the name of the band, actually. It's called the Bitter Funeral Beer Band. Which is a strange name for a band. To be honest, I cannot remember the first time I listened to it. Like, I think it was, I bought it in Scotland. There was a record shop quite near us that had tons of secondhand jazz. And I played in this band called Dogface Hermans. And the bass player of that band, when I first met him, one of the first things he did is, after I'd only met him maybe twice, he lent me about 100 LPs in one go. He said, come around my house and just go through some records that you look interesting. And or I was leafing through and go, oh, what's this need say? Oh, that's fucking amazing. You've got to listen to that. So he also recommended. And I went off, left him like with as many LPs as I could carry. And I spent the whole summer listening to them. And in them was Ornette Coleman, which is this record called Science Fiction, which was insane. I couldn't actually get my head around it. And I remember I went to London and played it to some friends of mine that I used to sit around and listen to music with. We used to listen to The Doors, and I put this on and I said, listen to this, this is crazy. And they just looked at me like, oh dear Andy, you've lost it, you've really lost it. And I was so excited, I just thought, this is amazing. And they were really looking at me like, I think we've lost you. So, and Don Cherry was playing on that. So that's how I discovered him. And so I started looking for records with Don Cherry, and just by coincidence, I found that one for like £2 or something in a record bin. And the cover was also weird because I was really interested in African music already at that point. And the cover looked like I actually thought it was a traditional African music record with some extra musicians or something. So yeah, it was kind of coincidence. It wasn't that somebody recommended that record. And actually it turned out that record, it's on this label ECM, which is a big jazz sort of improvised label. And I heard a lot of other stuff on ECM, but I think that's still the best thing they ever put out. And nobody really knows about it. The first track is very, very weird because it sounds like it's the wrong speed. It sounds like it's supposed to be on 45 and it's a 33. And so I speeded it up because it really sounds slowed down. And it's this very slow funeral dirge where the women are kind of wailing and the rhythm's very kind of so. And I thought, whoa, this isn't what I expected. But then the record just changed after that. I mean, I love that track now, but that was the very weirdest one at the beginning. And then it's funeral music anyway, so I didn't expect it to be super exciting, but it turns into this incredible sort of celebration of life and death at the same time. And it was just amazing. And the second track, this drum track, which is just drums. I'm making some music at the moment for something else, and I made a sample from that and slowed it down, really slowed it down and pitched it down also. And it just sounds amazing. They played it so well. It's really like, I mean, they played it beautifully, and it has this fantastic rhythm in six. It's like a sort of weird, strange timing, but when I DJ, sometimes I play that track and people always just go really, really gone crazy because it has this kind of weird sort of loop. It's not in four and it makes your head go a bit strange. And I mean, the rhythm is completely not like the jazz swing. It doesn't have that at all. It's really based on these Ghanaian beats. It's really over the reason I chose that record is because whenever I listen to it, I like it more. It's not like, you know, like if you listen to music after a while, sometimes you think, oh, okay, that was then. But this record just seems, every time I go back to it, it sort of grows on me more. It's really special. I think I can listen to it. I can have it played on my funeral. That would be fun. It's a good idea, actually. It'd be great if they just get drunk and listen to good music and go wild. It's much better. I was studying anthropology at the university, so I had access to the music library, and I would go there quite regularly and just go through the ethnomusicology section. And I just recorded, they had a cassette machine there, so you could take an LP and record so you could study at home, which is an amazing resource. And they had quite an amazing collection of records, and I only concentrated on the African music. There was tons of Asian music and Indian, and I thought, I can't. That's just, it's too enormous. I've got to start somewhere, and I've got to focus. So I just decided to focus first, and also maybe because I was more interested in that. I didn't completely know why at that point, but I really love the strings, the sound of the strings, and also the drums, the drumming and the polyrhythms, and that you have very simple parts. Each musician is playing quite a simple part, and how it locks together is what it's a collective. Mostly, it's a collective music, not always, but a lot of the stuff I really liked was the, you know, ensembles playing collectively, and you know, the musicians also disappear. It's not important who's playing what; it's what they do together that makes it so incredible. And it's actually how I've been making most of my music for the last 30 years in the X, and in Dogface Hermans, and in Lean Left. We play collectively. It's really a collective sound, and each of us is doing something not super complicated, but somehow how it locks together and how it works, and we create this sound that none of us can do by ourselves. We can only do it with these four people. And that's, for me, that just seemed like the most obvious way to make music. And maybe it was partly to do with the fact that I'd listened to a lot of this African music. But yeah, that's a strange time, the beginning of the 80s, for all this stuff. Because also you had a lot of Soweto South African music coming out then. Also, you had this song "Free Nelson Mandela" that the Specials played, which is a kind of a bit that style. Again, through those things, I discovered about Soweto music from South Africa, and there was some amazing stuff, and Fela Kuti, like we already said. But this LP was so weird because it just, for me, it was like total trance music played with an incredible energy. You know, I always thought trance music, that it was something a bit slower and a bit, you know, like meditative. And this was like funeral music. There was just, whenever I cooked, I used to put that record on, and it was just great. I would get so wound up while I was cooking, like just listening to this record. And my dream was to one day to try and get an ensemble together to do it, because they played it like a few times, and then there was a few live concerts, like you see there's a couple in one in Stockholm and one, that's it. They played a couple of jazz festivals, and then all of them were busy with other projects and they moved on to other things. And then this Italian label put out the live record. But basically, that was such an incredible ensemble with such an amazing idea, and nobody saw it. No, a few people saw it. this guy Colin, who lent me all these records, when he heard that record, he also just said he didn't know it. And I was really proud because I discovered a record that he, based on all the information that he'd given me, I went out and searched and I found this record that he didn't know. And he just thought it was amazing. So we, in a way, when we started, we started a band not long after that. And we went, we were rehearsing in an old theater in a space where we were only allowed to go in there at midnight. So we would go in at midnight and rehearse till 6 a.m. And we just jammed and played. We played Oil Barrels, and we were mostly just making rhythmic noise. And I think that record had an influence. And when we started playing music as a band, we were like 20, 22, 23. We didn't think, oh, let's play punk or something. We already had this influence of all this African music and jazz, and we couldn't play any of that. And we thought, well, we're not going to play jazz music. We're not going to play African music. But we've heard all this stuff, and we just went in and played our instruments with all of those influences in our head. So we ended up making this sort of noise and cacophony that all the other musicians and bands, they were like, what the fuck is that? What are you doing? What is that? But they liked it because they could feel that we had a kind of energy and a joy to it. And it was the band was called Volunteer Slavery, the first band, and that was named after a Roland Kirk song. And he was also really important for us at that time. He's a saxophone player. He plays with blind saxophone player. Often played three horns at the same time. So we had all these influence, Don Cherry coming from here, African music, Roland Kirk, guitar music, punk also, all those elements sort of coming together and us not really knowing quite what we were going to do with all of that. And then slowly we found our own sound from that. Was another great record that changed my life. We listened to this record by Mahmoud Ahmed called Eremela, and we must have heard it 20,000 times. It was really, we had it going like a lot. It was because we're listening to cassettes then. And there was another one called Ethiopian Groove, which was a collection of all So it was before the whole Ethiopic series came out. It was a CD called Ethiopian Groove, or a cassette, and we listened to it a lot, like, and started going to visit Ethiopian restaurants in Amsterdam. And there you heard very strange wobbly cassettes of really bizarre music. And that really got us interested. And the food was so good as well. So I think we got more and more intrigued to go there. And then Terry did this trip in Africa for a year, and he ended up, the last bit was in Ethiopia, and he stayed there a month. And that really convinced him that, you know, he really wanted to go back. And actually, going with the band was really a suggestion from some Ethiopian people. It wasn't our idea. We didn't really think at first that would... But someone said, hey, yeah, you should go there with your band. You should go and try and play there and sort of see. I think people will like it. We were really like, yeah. And they were right. It was amazing. We had great experiences. And we played in some crazy places, like in squares where there were like 2,000-3,000 people, like, just because it was free. We made the concerts free, so people just came. It was like a sort of happening. I think people also laughed. I think they thought it was funny. I think they were kind of amused. They have a great sense of humor anyway. The Ethiopian humor is very particular. So, and I think they saw something quite funny. And also because we attempted and succeeded, I think, to play some Ethiopian songs. And I think for them, that was also probably really, like, at first they must have thought, what? But then actually they saw that we kind of knew the song, and Kat was singing some of the songs in Amharic, and they were like, wow. I think they were kind of flabbergasted and amazed, and also kind of happy that we were doing it. It was like a sort of celebration of their music, and really done with an open... It wasn't done as a sort of ethnomusicological experiment or something. It was done because of us celebrating that music, because we love it. And I think they could feel that we really actually loved the music. And we kept our own sound. We didn't try to sound like authentic Ethiopian traditional instruments. We played it with our guitars the way we play. So it was our sound and their music. And the combination, I think, had quite an impact. So that approach, I think, I've always, and I think that's how the Bitter Funeral Beer record was approached. It's Ghanaian music. There's no Ghanaian musicians on that record. And for years I thought there was. I thought all the drummers were Ghanaian, because it was from the U drum ensemble, but actually it's all these Swedish jazz musicians who doubled up on the drums and play just learned the beats. And it's not stiff or kind of, it's really got this kind of flow, and it's breathing, and it's just, I always think of the word celebration. That's a way to describe when somebody is in love with a music and they celebrate it by playing it themselves in their own way. That's, it can be great. It can be terrible as well. It has been many, many times. It's like I don't have to do anything with this music except listen to it and enjoy it. And maybe at some point in my life could try and make a version of it or play it. But I don't even need to understand everything about it. For me, that just the sheer joy that I've received from it is enough already. As a thing, it's, you know, you have these records that you just love and that changed your your life. And it changed my musical life more than my life, because I didn't go to Ghana. Like with the Ethiopian music, I feel like it really changed up my life, because I went there a few times. And but this record really changed my musical, which of course changes your life as well, but it really changed my musical horizon or something. And it liberated me. It gave me a feeling, oh, I can do that as well. I'm allowed. I can. It's like when I saw Sonic Youth live for the first time, and Thurston put a drumstick in between his strings, and he started bashing the drumstick with another drumstick, and the sound was wah, wah. And I thought, wow, you're allowed to do that with your guitar. You can do that, and you don't have to care. He's not trying to smash up his guitar. He's trying to get a great sound, and it might damage it a little bit, but it's okay to do that. You don't have to treat it as this precious little piece of furniture that you mustn't. So that, for me, that was really like a moment. And I have the same with this record, that it felt like it gave me the permission, I can do that as well. I can do this. I can play a track for 22 minutes. We can just play repetitive. But you have to do it well, of course, and you have to do it in a way that makes sense. But I really, it kind of freed me from something, which is a good thing.
My name is Daniel Garcia, and this has been Antennas to Heaven. Special thanks to Bengt Berger and his label Country and Eastern. Thanks for listening.